We come from the denominational church. I've been in church since church nurseries. I've been in church since I was 2 weeks old. I was raised in church. I love church. I never have understood why people don't like to come to church. I even liked the dead ones, the cold ones. I just liked church. I love church. I love God's people.
Hallelujah.
I like the confused people. Well, we came to an age where we were really struggling in our heart. Our church promoted going door to door. They paired me up with a gentleman, which probably wasn't wisdom, but they did. And he said, I'm going to pray that nobody comes to the door. And I thought, good idea. We prayed the prayer of agreement. We agreed they wouldn't, they either wouldn't be home or they wouldn't answer the door. I was scared silly. And we had this little booklet we're supposed to read to them. And it wasn't just a page. It was several pages. And you know you'd like to answer your door and say, can I read you this message? So I knew this is not going to go over. Well, that plagued me for weeks and months after that. I thought, you know, these people are going to hell and I can't even tell them. I can't even get brave enough to knock on the door and tell them. I mean, those days, if you couldn't knock on a door, you weren't anybody. You didn't have anything. Everybody that knew Jesus knocked on doors.
Right. That's right.
That's in the 50s or 60s. Well, I was searching my scripture and I wasn't looking for the Holy Ghost.
Right.
I was looking for power. I had a vague acquaintance with the Holy Ghost. I mean, so vague, you can't imagine how vague. I knew we had Father, Son, Holy Ghost. I knew we had a lesson every year that they tried to explain that to us. I knew I never got it. I thought, beats me. I don't know what all that is. So I'm not looking for the Holy Ghost. I'm looking for power. Power, power. I want to go door to door. I got to have door to door power. There's a lost and dying world, and I don't have door to door power. That's what I'm looking for. So I thought they had power in the book of Acts. So I'll start the book of Acts. Got to Acts 1:8. You shall receive power. I thought, hey, that's what I want. It says, after that, the Holy Ghost come upon you. And then you should be my witnesses. Well, I knew I was born again. There wasn't any doubt. I know I'm born again, but I know I don't have power. So putting two to two together, deductive reasoning, I thought, it says I would receive power after the Holy Ghost came upon me. I know I'm born again. I have to assume he never came upon me. Because it says if I had the power, he came upon you.
Amen.
So I said, come on. I didn't even know what I was asking him to do, see. And he came. A friend came. She says, I have something I want to tell you. I figure you'll kick me out, but I'm going to tell you anyway. She didn't know, see, my heart's hungry. I'm longing. Somebody help me. Somebody help me. See, they may be stiff. They may even stick out their tongue, but they want to know. They do. Right word, right season, right spirit, preceded by prayer. They want to know. I said, well, okay, go ahead and tell me. So she proceeded to tell me about baptism and the Holy Ghost. Well, speaking in tongues, I never had heard of that. Now, we read the Bible through every year, so I read past that, you know. In our church, you read the Bible every year. I'd read the Bible, but you don't see. That's why they're not in here. They're blind.
That's right.
No person that sees goes off the end of a cliff into hell.
That's right.
If they saw hell, they'd be here. They don't see it. Well, I said, you know, I think that's what I've been looking for. I think it is. She said, well, I don't know how to help you to get it. She said, I just felt like the Lord wanted me to tell you about it. I said, well, who knows how to get it? She said, well, I mean, we're in a mess here.
Yeah.
She said, I think I know a couple ladies that'll help us. So she called them. They said they would. So they laid hands on me and nothing happened. And they assured me that something did happen. They said it happened. And I thought, I can't tell that it happened. They said, oh, yeah, it happened. I thought, okay, if you say so. I didn't sense anything. I didn't feel anything. I mean, absolutely nothing. Well, a couple nights later, late at night, I felt like I should make a phone call and check on a friend, a relative. And I thought, it's kind of late, but I really felt like, you know, really... Late and all. I'll just apologize and say, are you in bed? And I'm sorry I called so late. I just, you know, because I couldn't get over it. I thought, I better call them. Well, I called them, and I said, are you all right? And they said, yeah. I said, are you sure? They said, yes, I'm all right. I thought, well, I was deeply concerned. I adore them. I love them so much. I didn't know what to do. I hung up the phone, and I said, God, they're not all right. I know they're not all right. See, from my heart, the Spirit had words to say.
Yes.
They're expressions in the Spirit that are beyond human vocabulary.
That's right.
And because they had laid their hands on me and they'd said it happened, and I'd said, well, okay, you say so. He just rose and tumbled out. And I began to pray for them in the Spirit. And I don't know what their problem is. They said they didn't have a problem. See, but I know they do have a problem. I sensed it. So I prayed in the Spirit. Oh, thank God, we need Him.
Amen.
The Holy Ghost, we need Him. Right. Jesus said it's expedient. Means it's absolutely essential that He come.
Yeah.
If He doesn't come, we're not convicted of sin.
That's right.
We don't even know that we're outside. We need to get in. Well, thank God for the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
See, He gave expression to the longing of my heart to be a benefit to this relative. When I didn't know what to say, didn't know what the problem was. Couldn't even get him to admit there was a problem, but the Holy Ghost, see. There's a longing on the inside. And He interpreted that longing to the Father. And the Father allowed him to give expression in words that I had not spoken before. Now there is, from me to the Father, words. That means there is from the Father to earth an answer.
Hallelujah.
Anytime there's words of faith go to heaven, there's words of faith come from heaven.
Yes, that's right.
God doesn't ever say, hold phone, I'll get to you if I have time.
That's right.
He's here, see. And sometimes I'm just minding my own business, just trucking through life, and suddenly, oh, maybe you pass somebody, and your spirit, that longing, so you recognize, and you think, what's wrong with him? Now, you don't say, hey, old buddy, are you all right? It's not usually wise. But say to somebody that knows, hey, Lord, is he all right? And see, and then yield to that longing on the inside. Now, I don't have to be informed. I don't have to know anything at all. I don't have to know that his mother died. I don't have to know that his wife's divorcing him. I don't have to know that his kids just made an F. See, we're not problem-oriented. We're answer-oriented. If it is an F, if there is a dilemma, rather than panic, we say, Holy Spirit, how can we help my child? My son was in third grade remedial math. He's 33 today. He's an engineer. Came through calculus. In flying colors. But in third grade, all was lost. They called the house and said they're going to put Joel in remedial math. I thought, you know, I was horrified. I was horrified my baby couldn't multiply. They're going to put him in remedial math. And now people call. They even call the house sometimes. They say, I can't find Joel. I got to ask him a math question. What happened? See, there was, interpret that longing in the Spirit. Daniel 1 says, the Lord will give you children skill and knowledge in all learning.
Amen.
And I began to say, Joel Cumby has skill and knowledge in all learning. I'm going to tell you, it didn't look that way either. I said it through third grade, fourth grade, fifth grade, sixth grade, seventh grade. I mean, he just never did catch on. Kept saying it. He has skill and knowledge in all learning. And suddenly, he got it.
Amen.
See, we pray, it says, with perseverance. We don't give up. We don't relinquish. They may turn their back on you. They may head back to the bar. They may get arrested again. I don't care what's happening. You say, we have a laborer. The right time, the right word, the right season. They're on the inside. They're going to abide in God. They're going to heaven, not hell.
Hallelujah.
I had a friend. Husband's not born again. She is. They had a troubled child. And she would say, he's going to walk with God. And the husband would say, yeah, he's going to end up in jail. Because he didn't know God, see.
Right.
So I called her one day, and I said, what's happening? She said, well, I said he's going to walk with God, and my husband said he's going to jail, and I said he's going to walk with God, he's going to walk with God, he's going to walk with God, and I think I'm ahead of him in confession. She said, I think I'm breaking even. She said, I'm doing all I can to out-talk him. See, there's an answer.
Yes.
Now, so often the answer is beyond words. I mean, you just don't know what to do. A lady came to me, she wanted to pray for her son. She was going to court. I make an assumption that he's innocent. I assumed wrong. She comes to the end of this long story about he's going to court, and then she said, oh yeah, he's guilty. I don't have a clue. Now I don't know what to do. That was in the early days when I just stepped into Pentecost. I don't know how to pray. I mean, I do not know how to pray. I don't know what to do with him. I thought, he's guilty. Now, if he'd been innocent, you know, she'd said he's innocent, he's falsely accused. You know, I could have prayed about that, but she says, yeah, he's guilty. I thought.
Yeah.
You open your mouth to pray and you think. Say, so yield to the Holy Ghost, he's on the inside. He knows what to say. And so I said, Amando, have mercy. And I thought, that's it, isn't it? Mercy, it's mercy we need. Now let me show you that in the scripture. It's so important. 1 Corinthians 14. That you yield to the Holy Ghost. That you don't feel like you have to be brilliant or eloquent or informed. Somehow we like to be all three. Especially the informed part. And we'll ask questions. They say, why do you want to know that? And we'll say, I just want to know. No reason, really. Just want to know. It's because you're nosy. 1 Corinthians 14 says, we pray in the understanding, we pray in the spirit. Now I can pray in the understanding if I have understanding. That's brilliant, isn't it? I can pray in the understanding if I had understanding. But I didn't have any understanding, and I didn't know how to pray for somebody who had broken the law and was going to court, and his mama was deeply concerned. I just didn't know what to do. But see, I yielded. There's somebody on the inside knows what to do. Knows what to do. Knows what to do. Now, I could stand in faith and say he'll never go to jail. Probably end up in jail. Because when you're dealing with somebody else's dilemma, what they believe, what they have in their heart, could contradict and cancel your prayer. Now, this is how it goes. If we get up in the morning and Wayne feels sick, and I see that he doesn't look too well, and I say, Father, I am so glad by Jesus' stripes he's healed.
I feel awful.
And I say, I'm so glad you sent your word and healed him.
Just can't get it together today.
I said, oh, I know you have such blessing for him. The Holy Ghost is right now quickening his mortal body.
I think I'm going to die. I'd have to die to feel better.
And I'd say, oh, I'm so glad for the benefit of healing. It's a benefit to him today.
Got my temperature sky high.
Let me ask you, is my faith going to work for him?
No.
Why not? See, we've all tried that.
Yes. Yes, we have.
And then it didn't work, and we said, well, God wanted you to be sick to bring glory to himself. Instead of saying, wow, I've made a mistake here. Something's wrong the way I prayed. Isn't that right? So instead of doing that, yield to the Holy Ghost. See, and say, Ole pale ile une evi ana opasa. Mole clito no corripanto pasi, healed. Let him see that. Do ba do le clito mata. As I pray in the Spirit, understanding often comes to me. If you see this verse, verse 15, I will pray with the Spirit is first.
Yes, right. That's good.
Then I pray with understanding. I couldn't pray with understanding first because I didn't have any understanding. I didn't know what to do with the guy. I thought maybe he should go to jail. I said, no, don't tell me what he did, please. I could see. Never anchor in faith if you tell me what he did. I said, don't even tell me what he did. I couldn't pray with understanding. Says I prayed with the Spirit. And as I was praying in the Spirit, praying by unction of the Holy Ghost, I realized, mercy. Now I have understanding. I got my understanding from the Spirit. First the Spirit and then the understanding. And we've started with the understanding and we've given it mental assent and mental agreement. And then our faith has collapsed because they messed us up. Or because we had the wrong understanding, the wrong answer. What you thought would work won't work, see? So you start in the Spirit.
Yeah.
Now, I was praying for a fella. I just had a sense. He doesn't live in our city. He comes through every now and then. We've heard him preach a number of times. He's a great preacher. Lives way off yonder. Wonder what he's doing. See, the Holy Ghost begins to draw you to people who need your spiritual touch in their life. And it's not that they need you to say, call and say, hey, I was thinking about you. Because that's what we do.
Yeah.
Hey, I was thinking about you. How are you doing? You passed my mind this morning. Rather than recognize and see the Holy Ghost is drawing me to somebody that needs the touch of the Spirit, that needs what I can say to God on their behalf.
Amen. Hallelujah.
And I don't even have to know what they're doing. So I thought about him. And I wondered what he's doing. I haven't seen him. Wonder if he's coming back through the city. Wonder how we could find that out. And I didn't do anything about it. Next day, he came up again. I thought, maybe he's going to be around somewhere. I should probably check. I must have done that 3 or 4 times. Then it dawned on me. I thought, he needed something in the Spirit. He needed something. Well, what does he need? I don't have any idea. Where is he? I don't know. He's everywhere, usually. Where's his wife? I don't know. How's his children doing? I don't have any idea. Don't even know how to phone and ask. And usually phone and asking is a very, very poor idea. You hear me say that? You frighten people. You scare people when you say, I had you on my mind. Do you need anything from the Lord? I sent something. Why, you blow them out of the chair? Don't do that. Don't do that. Please don't do that unless the Lord says so. Every now and then he'll say, call them. If he doesn't say, call them, don't call. You frighten people. Well, I finally dawned on me this man must need prayer. I don't know what he needs, don't know where he is, don't know where his wife is, don't know what his children are doing. He has a number of children. So I said, oh, Shebekletabasaka. Oh, Tamil Nu'iyasuna'a. I started in the Spirit because I don't have understanding. Says, pray in the Spirit and then in the understanding. I was praying in the Spirit. This is how it happened. When I began to say, hurry. Hurry, hurry, hurry. And I knew that I knew he needs to do something. He needs to do it right away. Says, what does he need to do? I do not have any idea. Do not be nosy.
Right,
if you're nosy, God can't use you. I never even ask. But I know that I know. Whatever it was, he needs to get right on it and do it immediately. And I begin to say. Now see, I can anchor my faith. On hurry. You can't anchor your faith in other tongues because you don't know what you said. Faith comes by hearing. You don't know what you said, so you can't anchor your faith. Now, I don't know what it is, but I know he's going to do it today. He's going to do it in a hurry.
Amen.
And I began to say, hurry, hurry, hurry. Come on. Called him by name. Come on, come on. I said, it dawns on him. It comes to him today that he needs to get right on this and move quick. Said, well, did you ever ask him what it was? No. It's none of my business.
Amen.
Scripture says, study to be quiet and do your own business. See, God begins to bring to you and draw you to people who need your spiritual touch. I was thinking about my brother years and years ago. I'm the oldest of three. He's considerably younger than I. In fact, he was 9 when I got married. So we've been married a while. He's in college. And I woke up one day and I thought, I wonder what he's doing. Well, I thought I'd call Mother and ask her, and then I didn't get to it. And an hour or so later, it came up again. What's Philip doing? What is he doing? What is he doing? And I had a sudden sense of danger. And there was the smell, if you'll let me say that way, of death. You could sense it. Well, now you don't call Mother for sure, see. What God tells you is for your ears and your heart. That's it. So I began to pray. I couldn't get over it. It was a Friday. I prayed some Friday, some Saturday, some Sunday. Monday, I called a lady who used to pray with me. She didn't live in town anymore. Used to pray with me from time to time. And I said, what are you doing this morning? Come over and help me pray for my brother. The more I prayed in the Spirit, I didn't hear any words. It's not always words. I didn't hear any words. I didn't have any words. But as I prayed in other tongues, see, so she came and she wanted to be a comforter, and she said, oh, it's probably death to self. Well, that's a religious misnomer, because self is a new creature. It doesn't need to die. It needs to grow strong in the Lord and the power of his might.
Amen. Amen.
So I know that ain't right. That doesn't line up with a good theology. I said, no, it's physical. So we prayed that day. We prayed quite a while, and we got it. Now, when God brings somebody to you, and it's over, it's over. It's like having a child. When it's over, you know that.
Yes.
I mean, when it's over, and you think, thank God it's over. I mean, there's a spiritual release, a release in the Spirit that's recognizable.
Amen.
Now, sometimes you don't have to do something all in one day. Some things will carry from day to day. You can do something, and it'll come to kind of a calm, kind of like the eye of a hurricane. And tomorrow, it'll stir up again. See, and I'd been carrying that for about 4 days before we came to the end. And Monday afternoon, I knew that we did it. We did it. And see, I couldn't pray with my understanding because I don't have any. I don't know what's wrong. I do know something's wrong, but I don't know what's wrong. I'm going to start with the Spirit. And as I prayed in the Spirit, I came to an understanding. Well, the next day, my mother called and she said, I have to tell you about your brother. I said, all right. Now, I don't have to panic. I don't have to be uptight, strung out. Why? I prayed. And I got a release. And I know I got a release. She said it was a little accident. And his car was totaled. And they had to pry him out. You know how they do. Thank God they have wisdom. It was totally unscratched. Totally unscratched. Now, I could have tackled that with my understanding and missed the whole thing. But it says, I pray in the Spirit, with the Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit leading my spirit. The Holy Spirit drawing me. I remember we had a family dilemma, not a little bitty dilemma. I mean a big dilemma. It was a Saturday. I was grief-stricken, panic-stricken, and mad. I didn't know what to do, but we had a meeting at church, had to go to. So I went, and Wayne and I sat on second row, towards the end, second row. And they said they wanted to pray about something. They started praying. Well, I'm pretending to pray. The only thing I can think about is this problem, what to do, 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 what to do. I don't have a clue what to do. And one minute I want to cry over it, the next minute I want to punch somebody in the nose. See, I'm just vacillating between anger and deep pity. Have you ever been there? Are y'all human?
Yes.
Just checking, because I'm not going to air all my laundry if you're not human. So a very wise man of God, see. You can pace and pray. I'm a pacer. You can't tell that, I know. You can lay and pray. I lay and pray, I get a backache. I'm not interested in laying and pray. One lady said she couldn't hear from God unless she was laying down. I said, so lay down. You can pray loud, you can pray quiet. It's not how loud you are. It's not how quiet you are. It's not where you're on your knees. It's not where you're laying flat. It's not where you're pacing. It's the attitude of the heart. It's faith in the heart. It's what's happening with faith in the heart. That's what counts. So a man, very wise man, very strong in the Lord, very powerful man, is passing by where I'm sitting. And he stopped a minute. He's praying in the spirit. He stopped a minute. He hesitated. I said, oh, God, don't tell him, don't tell him, don't tell him. You know God tells things.
Amen.
Well, he paced down that aisle. After a while, he paced back around. I thought, oh. And then he came, moved us over, and sat down. Well, I did what every brave person would do. I closed my eyes real tight and prayed as long, as fast, as loud as I could. Pretend like he wasn't there. Oh, you barely believe one of them. We should never see no color available because oh yeah, so no, to be on no computer. Now you can speak in tongues without praying.
That's right.
It's your language. You can just rattle if you want to. And I wasn't praying. I was rattling.
Come on.
I was trying to disguise my dilemma. But see, he was in the spirit. He picked up in the spirit. He sat there a while and he left. And I went, thank God. I don't know. Some people like to tell everything. And the only time I ever tell anything, I'm a very private, very personal, and very quiet, and very reserved person. Unless the anointing comes, then I tell everything. That's the truth. I don't tell anything. There's no way I would have said anything to anybody. So we went, they dismissed the prayer meeting, thanked everybody for coming. Wayne and I charged out the door. I got to get out of there. We charged out the door. And somehow he got in his car in this lot. We were out in the front lot. He got in his car in this lot, circled around up to the bumper of my car and said, hey, hey, come here a minute. Oh, see, thank God.
Yes.
For Holy Ghost people,
yes,
who allow the Holy Ghost to lead them. Now, see, he's led to help me. You don't have to help anybody unless you're led to help them. Once you've prayed, when you pray, see, he could have prayed and that'd been the end of it. Trusting the Lord to reach my heart, to put his finger on the dilemma, to show me the road out. I couldn't see the road out. We were roadblocked. But he came around. He said, I got to run an errand. Get in my car. So Wayne and I got in. And we ran his little errand. And he said, and so what is the matter with you? So I swallowed real hard and I told him. And he said, well, it's really no big deal. It's going to work out all right. So within 2 hours, it was totally solved. By the time I got home to my telephone, I had a message, saw the whole thing.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Praise God.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
See, he yielded to the Spirit. We do what the Spirit leads us to do. And we pray by unction of the Spirit. Now it says praying always, Ephesians 6:18, with all prayer, all kinds of prayer. There's all kinds of prayer. And there's nothing wrong with praying in my understanding. In fact, the best way to pray in understanding is to take the prayers that are in the Scripture and pray those. I do that all the time. Ephesians 1, Ephesians 3, Colossians 1, Philippians 1 has marvelous prayers written by the Holy Ghost. I read those prayers and I put my name in them. Or if I'm praying for you, I'm praying with the understanding of the Holy Ghost. I'm praying in English. I'm saying, Lord, give unto Becky the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you, that Becky's heart will be flooded with light, that Becky will know the hope of her calling, that Becky will know. See, I read that prayer. It begins in Ephesians 1:17. I put my name in there. And a lot of times I'm praying for you. If you don't see, you're healed. No use trying to talk you into it. If you don't see it, you don't see it. We twist people's arm. We camp on their doorstep. We drag and we cajole and we plead and beg. No, pray. And there's nothing wrong with praying with the understanding. But once I prayed with my understanding, I prayed in English, then I don't know exactly what else to do. Then I go to the Spirit. And as I go to the Spirit, I tap into what God knows. Now, I can always start with what he's already said. What he's already said, those prayers have been written. They were written by the Holy Ghost. They'll work.
Amen.
One says that, I always say that Becky may abound and increase in love according to knowledge and judgment. I sing them too, written in my own tune. See, I can pray the prayers. This is the word of the Lord. It's been written. But once I've done that, then how'd I help you? I don't know. You know, you come to me and you say, this is what usually happens. They say, you know, my brother's uncle's sister's son in Texas. Well, I'm already lost. I say, say that again. They say, you know, my brother's uncle's sister's son. Well, see, my aunt was married before. And you see, well, you know, and she died. And then, I mean, I'm just totally, my head is swimming. And then you say, well, you see, there was these two people, and then they left, and then this man came. That was Ronald. You remember Ronald? He was my, you know, and I mean, when they get through, I don't have a clue. I'm just trying to grasp. I usually say, now, what was your question? Because usually I've lost the question. I've tried to get the family tree lined up. I don't know what to do. In the natural, in my mind, there's no way I can pray with my understanding. Now, I can pray for you. I said, Lord, you said grace and peace is multiplied through knowledge. So I believe you'll give her knowledge, you'll give her wisdom, you'll give her revelation. The light of the word will shine into her heart, and she can let this rest. She can hold fast to your peace, knowing that you're on the scene, that you're a great and mighty God, and you want to iron this out so that all things bring you honor and glory. Now, sometimes you pray in the Spirit, and God gives you understanding, and sometimes He doesn't. If He does... This is profound, right? If he does, you've got it. If he doesn't, you don't have it. Like he told me, hurry, but he didn't say hurry and do what? He told me danger, but he didn't say car accident. He told this man that was so helpful to us, she's troubled. He didn't have a clue why. And sometimes he tells you to go to him, do something. But usually not. So usually not. Be very careful. But once I pray the scripture, I pray the word, I pray those wonderful prayers already written, and then I go to the Spirit, and I pray in other tongues. I pray by divine unction. Now, you can have divine unction to pray without knowing who it is. It's not that you'll always know who it is. Sometimes... I know somebody's in trouble. I know that. I don't have a clue who it is. You don't have to even know who it is. But see, you begin to recognize. See, the Holy Ghost lives on the inside. You begin to recognize His work in you. You'll be able to tell the difference when you're praying to strengthen yourself and when you're praying for someone in trouble.
Yes.
There's a difference in the Spirit. And over a period of time of praying, you'll know. See, and God knows that today I need to pray and strengthen and edify and build myself up. He's my leader in prayer. God is the prayer leader.
Amen.
That's right.
He knows who needs help. He knows how to help them. He knows how to reach you so that you will help them.
Amen.
Now, let me tell you about this dream thing. There's always somebody that has wild dreams. And they want to know, do you know what that dream means? And I'll be the first to tell you, it means absolutely nothing.
Amen.
You ate too much pizza. God knows how to reach you. He knows I'm from a small town between two larger towns. Wayne was raised on the farm. He knows if he's speaking to Wayne, he'd say, Wayne, go plant the seed of the word to them. He knows Wayne. He knows how to communicate with Wayne. He knows what Wayne would see and understand. Now, before I married Wayne, I didn't know beans about farming, nothing. If he had talked to me about farming, I'd have to say, what, Lord? What'd you say? Now, I used to sow a lot. He'd talk to me about sowing. He'd say, Wayne, you need to plant that seed, because he knows how to reach Wayne. See, if God gives you a dream, he knows what you will and what you won't understand. And if you don't understand the dream when you wake up, forget it.
Amen.
God is not dumb. He's not going to stretch you into some new dimension in order to communicate with you. No, he's going to say, now, Becky, you need to stitch that together. And I know, okay, I got that. Now, if he says, Wayne, stitch that together, you know what? He's not going to get it. He didn't know a thing about stitching things together. He does know how to put on buttons. Oh, it's such a wonderful Holy Ghost.
Amen.
See, he leads us to pray. Sometimes he tells us who. Sometimes he doesn't. Sometimes he tells us what. Usually he only tells us a little bit of what. Just enough so you can anchor your faith. Now, I suspect, though I don't know, the only part I prayed about was the hurry part. I suspect somebody else that knew him was probably praying that he'd go to the bank or to the clinic or to the wherever he was supposed to go do what in a hurry. So I suspect somebody else had the other half.
Amen.
Because that's the way God works a lot.
Amen.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
But I'm just doing the part he gave to me.
Yes.
It says pray in the Spirit. You can pray the word anytime, every time. Pray the word. I'm not talking about you making up words. I'm talking about open your Bible, find that prayer, read that prayer, put their name in it. Say, Lord, I'm praying that John have the spirit of wisdom, that John have revelation, that John's heart be flooded with light, that John know the hope of his calling, that John know the riches of the glory of your inheritance, and that John know the exceeding greatness of your power.
Amen.
I can pray the word anytime. I pray every time. And the reason I'm praying that Dwayne had revelation, because I'm telling the Lord he's healed, and he's telling the Lord he feels awful. He needs revelation. He needs understanding. Everybody needs light. Everybody needs understanding.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking about the kind of light that comes with like a bolt of lightning. You know, our county is the lightning capital of the United States of America. We have more lightning than anybody else. And you know lightning can strike at one place and land 10 miles over. And when it strikes, you have a sudden light, like, whoosh, but then it's over. It's dim again. It's in the dark. Now, I'm not talking about that kind of light. The translators say flooded with light. I want Wayne to get up one morning and say, what have I been saying? God is my healer. I want him to be flooded with light. Flooded with light. I want understanding to be in every pore and fiber of his being. That's why I'm praying. I can see that he doesn't see. And so what we do is say, here's what we do. We say, now, I'm telling you, you don't say that anymore. I don't want to hear another word out of you. You just keep your mouth shut. Now, you know about how much good all you did was make him mad. Isn't that right? So, Lord, give him spirit. You can pray the word. You should pray the word. Pray the word over people. Pick one of those prayers. Ephesians 1, Ephesians 3, Philippians 1, Colossians 1. Pick one of those prayers. Paul even labeled them. He says, I'm praying for you, and then he prays. You find where he says, I'm praying for you, find that prayer, put your name in it, put Mama's name in it, put Aunt Betty's name in it, whoever you're praying for, and pray it all the time. Pray it steadily until you see light in them. One fella did that for 10 days. He's trying to get somebody healed. Every time he told him he was healed, the fella just didn't get it. He didn't understand. He didn't see it. Now, if you don't see, you don't see. So he began to pray. And he prayed that Ephesians 1 prayer, this heart be flooded with light. 10 days later, a fella called him on the phone and said, you know what? I am healed. I see that.
Hallelujah.
So you can pray the word every time. But now, in addition to that, I pray in the Spirit. I yield to the Holy Ghost and I pray in tongues. Once I pray in tongues, oh, I must show you a verse before I quit. Sometimes the Lord informs me, gives me a hint. I'm not, you know, somebody begins to say, the Lord said, and the Lord said, and the Lord said, and the Lord said, and the Lord said, then the Lord said, and then the Lord said, and then the Lord said. Makes me nervous. Because I know the Lord, and he very seldom speaks to you in chapters. He usually speaks in phrases and sentences. And people that say the Lord said, and 20 minutes later they're still telling you what the Lord said, usually didn't hear from the Lord. Usually. Usually. Because the Lord doesn't speak that way. First of all, my life is none of your business.
Amen.
So the Lord isn't going to tell you everything about me.
That's right.
And your life is none of my business. But if he sees me drowning, he's going to tell you enough to pray so you can rescue me.
Hallelujah.
Now here, look at verse 13 that's ahead of this verse. Pray in the Spirit, pray in the understanding. Let him that speaks in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. That's not talking about tongues and interpretation in a church service. That's 14:13. Him that speaks in a tongue, pray that he may interpret. That means I say to the Father, now if there's any of this I'm praying in tongues that I need to know, I need to hear, I know you'll give me the interpretation. It's talking about me in my private prayer life praying for you. See, I ask for that. I open the door for that. He said he wouldn't tell you to pray to interpret if he was going to say, sorry. But he ain't going to tell you everything either. So when I begin to pray for you, I say, okay, Lord, I'll interpret anything you want me to know. So I'm praying in the Spirit. And the English I got, the understanding I got, was the interpretation was part of what I said by tongues.
Hallelujah.
Now here, let me tell you about fishing. Somebody comes up that we were going to church. It was the most fascinating thing. Sunday morning, we came around Lake Bonnie, and there were 50 fishermen in 20 feet. Now, we've been going by Lake Bonnie on our way to church for 17 years. Never have seen any fishermen on Lake Bonnie on Sunday morning. And we go by there during the week all the time. I mean, they were thicker than thieves in a little bitty spot. I figured somebody caught some fish there and spread the word. That's usually what happens. So everybody there is fishing is expecting fish, see. They know there's fish there. Well, see, when the Lord begins to deal with my spirit, he begins to say, what's Philip doing? How's Martha? Have you seen her? Rather than going to somebody, I say, Lord, how is Martha? And yield to him. See, he's directing me. He's told me there's fish there. Martha's in trouble. Philip's in trouble. There's fish there. But what if I get up in the morning and the Lord doesn't say a thing? I don't feel anything, don't sense anything, don't have any unction whatsoever. So, don't have to pray that day, right? Because if the Lord needed me, he'd call on me. Right? Well, let me ask you, fishermen. You only fish when you hear they're biting? This is a trap. Be careful. Now, if you heard they were biting, you'd go fish. No, you get up and you think, I'm going to go fishing. You haven't heard anything. You don't know if any fish is biting. You just go and you pick a spot that looks fishy. I mean, the water temperature and the waves and the weeds and the whole thing just looks fishy. But you throw your line in there and you throw it in several times. You wait 5, 10, 15 minutes. I don't know how patient you are. I fished once and I thought 3 minutes. Okay, let's go. There's nobody here. I'm not a fisher person. Well, so I say there's no fish here. I wait a while and I throw my line in. There's no fish here. I go somewhere else to fish. I take my boat. Because I'm not walking down the shore. If I'm going to fish, I'm going in the boat. So I take my boat or your boat, go in your boat. And I'm going. Now, I might go and read my book while you fish. I like the water. Never have understood the fish thing. Say, well, I understand it. Go for it. See, we are all different.
That's right.
Religion says you must look like me, you must smell like me, you must think like me, you must have your hair cut like me, you must wear your dress as long as I do.
Come on.
Go ahead.
Come on.
Religion says conform, conform, conform.
Yep.
Well, see, we're all different. Now, if there's no fish there, you move somewhere else. And that's the way it is in prayer. If I get up and I know there's fish, I know God's calling on me, I know he wants me to do something, help somebody, I have a hint, I have an indication, that's what I do. But if I get up and I don't have any hint, any indication of anything whatsoever, I throw my fish line in, I just say, okay, Lord, I think I'll pray for pastor today. I mean, Lord didn't say pastor. I didn't have pastor on my mind, didn't have pastor in my heart. I just thought, who knows? Maybe he needs something. And I pray a while. And sometimes, you know, it says the Holy Ghost takes hold together with us. It says that in Scripture. Sometimes I'm praying along and I think, wow, pastor did need something today. I just keep praying. I didn't know that when I started. I just started, I mean, somewhere. Pray something, do something. But I've been known, I thought, you know, Mary didn't look so good Sunday, but we'll pray for her. And I pray about 2 minutes and I think, this is not it. I mean, Holy Ghost doesn't take hold with you. Why would the Holy Ghost not take hold with you? I don't have a clue. You know how far I can see? We live on acreage. Wayne has sharper vision than I do, has always had sharper vision than I do. He's saying, you see that bird on the fence post? I can't see the bird on the fence post. I'm trying to locate the fence post. That's the truth, too. And that's about all I see. You don't sense Mary has a need? Say, well, okay, thank you. She's doing well today, Father, and go on to somebody else. Amen. So you don't have to wait till God calls upon you. Call on Him. I think it was Wigglesworth says, sometimes God moves me and sometimes I move God. He meant he just didn't sit around in case the Lord needed him. That's what's been wrong with most of the church. They're sitting around.
That's right. Oh, yes.
Till the Lord needs them. No volunteer. Work in the nursery. Work in kids' zone. Park cars. Do something. I was in kids' zone for years because that's where they needed me.
Amen.
And somebody asked me one time, how's the anointing in kids' zone? I was in fifth grade. I said, what anointing? We didn't have any anointing in fifth grade. I remember the day the anointing came, though. I remember the lesson was, I'm the bread of life. And I had this loaf of bread. They supplied the props, you know. I had this loaf of bread. It was really fresh. And, you know, fresh bread, you can wad it up, makes balls. So I thought, why not? So I wadded up the first one, and I threw it at a kid. Pretty good, too. Pretty accurate. I am. And they went, so I got them. Now they're paying attention. And the anointing fell. I said, glory to God. He's here. I still remember it. See, it's don't wait to pray till you have an urgency. Do you have a sense of something? If you have an urgency, do that. If you don't have a sense of something, an urgency, a calling, a leading, a hint, a wave, a drop of rain, then just go fishing. Just say, okay, Lord, I think I'll pray for Mary a while. And if that doesn't click, you know, Holy Ghost doesn't grab you, say, well, thank God Mary's okay. So I think I'll pray for Fred. And if that doesn't work, say, we'll pray for Joyce. If that doesn't work, say, all right, I'm going straight for George W. Bush. I know that'll work because God said in the scripture to pray for kings and all in authority. So you, God calls on you first in the spirit and then in the first what? And then what?
Understanding.
First what?
Spirit.
And then what?
Understanding.
How much understanding? How much understanding do you need? How much? Maybe none. Maybe the Lord won't say anything. So, well, sure, I'm glad I helped Fred with that. Don't know what that was, but thank you, God, that you used me to help Fred.